Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
911 emergency. Police.
Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode, not another true crime podcast, here with your favorite podcast host.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's us, right?
That's yeah.
I hope it's us.
Sorry, other people. Well, I was like,
do we have a guest
host?
Coming in?
What if Sarah was like, hey guys, you actually have to go. We need
you. Yeah, you're fired live on there. Actually,
surprise.
This is not live.
This isn't live.
No, we pre-tape, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
We know
what
you mean.
So funny. Danny, well, okay, so we all went out.
We did.
With our favorite person ever, Rachel Deloach Williams.
You remember her from the Anna Delvey episode. She wrote the amazing book, My Friend Anna. Mm-hmm. Truly, if you read it, like, it's so well done and such an interesting story.
She literally wrote the book on Anna Delvey. And every question you have about her, like, she answers.
Yeah, and she's so sweet, too.
Yeah, she's so nice.
Gorgeous skin, you know, like, made me drink tequila on the rocks because I wanted to, like, impress her, even though
she's
we're already
person.
Friends.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
She's a good person. And she listens in. So, hi, Rachel.
She listens.
Hi, Rachel.
The tequila was strong. You're probably still feeling from two days ago.
From a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just going to have a wine. And nope.
But yeah, no. We did not. And then also, so Sarah had to leave because she was being an adult.
Yeah.
But then me and Casey, and we were like, Rachel, we'll show you the east side of New York. And we talked up this place, Club Cumming.
We went to Club Cumming.
And Casey was
which
like,
which is an amazing little gay bar haunted house.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's truly a haunted house.
They've had the smoke machine going. Even if nothing else is happening, the smoke machine will be going.
For some reason, I thought it was a comedy club because I feel like you're always doing shows
they
there.
They do a lot of shows there. They also do like... Monday nights they do like an kind of like a sing along party. They do one person shows. Like you can basically
it's very
call
like
it
variety,
and, yeah.
Yeah,
variety it, stuff.
It's like cabaret ish. Yeah,
that's fun.
But and this night they happen to just not have a show.
Wait, tell us what happened when you walked in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we walk in after telling Rachel like this is a place like you know it's like there could be a drag queen singing
it.
Judy Garland. We love
yeah,
it. It's,
we
it's
don't
so
know.
Fun. Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. We walk in. Seven cops from Staten Island. There was just an armed robbery.
Full on, like cops. And so I know one of the guys. My friend Paul works there. So I come in and he's like, you just missed it. And I was like, what happened? He's like, there was a full. He's like, well, something happened in the bathroom. We don't know what happened there. Like two people went in and somebody. We don't know what happened there. But there was literally an armed robbery right outside.
Oh my God!
So apparently there was this literary event. So it was this man who was kind of I guess well known.
Well, yeah,
he's like a storyteller
allegedly.
Yeah,
like moth. If you guys know moth storytelling, he's like a repeat winner of that and kind of known in that.
And they
world.
Said he's written a couple things that have been like downtown New York theater, which is also like its own little scene and stuff like that. But so apparently somebody just walked into the bar, did like a couple laps and then followed this guy outside and robbed him. And it happened like mere minutes.
Oh my God. Wait, poor guy. Also, I thought you meant that there was like a stick up at the bar, like with a bunch of guys with guns and they're like, give us the money, open the cash register.
And that's what
they just like mugged this poor man.
And it's so interesting too.
He was like 80 years old.
I know. So mean.
So we fed him Pinot Noir.
Well,
like,
so we walk in and this guy, these people are just filling out copper reports with glasses of wine. And Danny's like, I mean, I love this.
Danny was like,
I mean, can we take pictures? And Rachel's like, should I get out my professional camera?
We're like,
I don't know what the plan
we
is.
We almost
here.
Had a new logo for this podcast because I thought it'd be so cool.
Yeah, police report with like a wine stain.
A wine stain?
On it.
Yeah. And then I was like, would I end up being arrested for because like it had his like social security number on it and information?
Yeah, probably. We black it out.
Yeah.
We don't even know what to do with the social security number. Like, it'll be fine.
But then we just kept buying this guy wine. And then the manager, Paul, was also pouring him wine. So, I mean, I think they had, I think at one point they had like six different cups on their table. And at one point I think they were like, we've got to just go. But they were, we were like, well, we do a true crime podcast. And they're like, no way. Yeah. And we were just talking.
And we told them to listen to it.
Should we get all the Staten Island cops on the episode?
But we could. But they had, it was full blown. Like they had the coat cop. They had the guy, like the detective with just like the long brown coat on that just was like, you guys are okay.
He had a long brown coat. Did he have like quippy one-liners?
It would just be like, hey, so like, we got the video footage in the front. We're going to take a lap around.
He had his hair slicked back. He had the slicked back hair. Oh, he had the long brown coat. And then there was all these cops that were running around. But it was like, how do we, like, it's just this guy was like doing laps. Like, I'm just saying we could have, I don't know.
Well, and that's
maybe we could have crime, maybe we could have stopped the crime stopped, and then we'd have to change the Facebook.
An interesting
thing too, because the way it happened, they were saying to Edgar, I feel like it could have been a thing where, it could happen to so many people, but what the person went up to him just like, hey, so nice to see you again. And it was kind of the situation, you know, when you feel like you forgot, you know, someone and they already know your name. So you pretend to know them. It was kind of like that. So he was like, hey, and then he robbed
the guy.
Him.
What the fuck?
Because they were saying that he's kind of well known in New York, like the theater world. And they had just had this literary event. And so it very well could have been somebody that knows him, but then just, and this poor guy was just so old. And then we just got him like, so drunk.
I know. We got him annihilated.
He had a purple mouth
you
when
just
we left.
Made his money back that he lost in wine. So honestly, it's all good.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like, but they were so sweet. And
but we missed the bathroom event. We missed the bathroom event,
but
shit.
We did see kind of like the Romeo and Juliet of the bar. There was this couple.
Oh my God.
Like truly, so the bar was eight people and four of them were cops and the rest were also. So there was just
four of them were you guys and then the one Edgar.
Then there was the champagne crew. This crew that was just purely drinking champagne.
So there were people who were like, I'm just going to drink through this robbery.
Oh yeah. I mean, the people that got robbed were drinking through the robbery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone was tying one on. But there was this couple that was truly through all this and music wasn't really playing that loud. They were like dancing, grinding, making out, and then 15 minutes later, you just hear, "You slept with that bitch," and like
it was.
Are you serious?
Flipped
to complete. Because that was the thing. Because it was a Sunday night, and I was like a little tired. And then when I walked in there, I was like, "I've never felt more alive." Like it was kind of like the endorphin rush. I was like, "These are all the things that are firing off for me that I need to see."
Yes, we love club coming, but
the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh yeah, but this couple was so funny because I was then telling my friend, I was like, "So this couple," I was like, "Are you listening to them?" Because now they're yelling at it. He goes, oh my God, 5 minutes ago, it was literally like, you're my best friend. You're the best person I ever met. You're my bestie. I love you so much. And now it was like, you slept with that bitch. And then the girl... And then she hit the ground.
Yeah.
She like said
drop.
That and she did, she fully did a drop and she was like squatting.
It was very black
and
swan. Yeah.
Squatting.
She's squatty putty.
Squatting and crying and it was, and then blink, and they were gone. And I was like, were they here at all? Like I got, you know.
Truly,
oh
that
my
was,
God.
Was anything
a New
real.
York mirage. I love it.
It was so a New York fun. Mirage. Yeah. And then their friend was just going around hugging everyone.
Hugging everybody.
It was a very Sunday night Molly sesh, we think, possibly.
It definitely,
been.
You know how Sundays get away from you sometimes?
Because you start with
the
bottomless
brunch.
Sarah knows. Sarah came to meet us two drinks in.
Yeah, honestly.
At 7 p.m. Yeah.
I know. Well, that was also why I was like, let me just chill and not be ordering tequila on the rocks because I don't want this shit to turn into like a true Sunday fun day.
It gets there.
I love the Sunday fun. Like I love it,
but it fucks up my life. Like it fucks up your everything. Week. Monday you're hungover. Really,
well, also like you fall asleep, and sometimes I'll wake up. Like I'll fall asleep during the day, and I would wake up at 10 p.m. being like, "Oh, is this a work day?" And then it's still that night, and you're like,
and you're
"What
like,
am I doing?"
And you feel like you're like, "How do I feel hungoverish when the sun is down?" It gets very insane.
Yeah, it does
like a lot. It does. It when I lived in when I was in Hawaii, because everything was so much earlier, we would wake up for Sunday football and the games were at like 7 a.m. And we'd be like, I guess Jaeger bombs. I mean, I was also like 25.
I guess.
But
I guess
it was like, by like noon, I'd be like, all right, see you guys tomorrow. Bye. I'd like kind of call it a day.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Yeah.
Good times. I wish I could bounce back.
Oof,
I had a superhero power.
It'd be to bounce back
hangovers.
From alcohol. Yeah.
It'd be to not feel like
would
I want to cry.
Would you rather never get hungover or eat whatever you want and not gain weight?
I'd eat whatever I want.
Hangover, for sure.
I would eat, because like, if I'm eating so much, I won't get hungover because then it would counteract.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? And then like, I would rather be able to like fit into like the Zara pants I like than like, I'll take an Advil. You know what I mean?
All right.
You know what? I would say hangovers because I truly I like to go out and have a good time, but I hate losing that next day.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean?
I would do the hangovers. I've started using this stuff. This is not sponsored, but like, ooh, I literally want everyone to know.
The hydration stuff?
My hangover patches. Everyone thinks I'm wearing a nicotine patch at the bar, and I'm like, no. And also, I'm like, it's not my birth control.
Backstory.
They're called Rally Patch, and basically, it's like a shit ton. I know, right? It's amazing. It's basically like a shit ton of vitamin B in a patch that you just put on like before you start drinking, and I swear this shit works. Like, you do not get a hangover.
Really?
And you just keep it on for like, honestly, as long as you can until it falls off, because it's just a shit ton of vitamin B.
Like, I don't know how patches work.
Amazon.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how does it go from this like
osmosis?
My acne prone skin to my like soul to cure my hangover? Like, I don't know how that
yeah,
works.
You know, I don't question the science, but like it works.
But she's like, but
I'll tell you, if they want to sponsor this, I'll learn.
But I also wonder, do you think any of it's like set, like that thing where you're like, I have my patch on, I feel better? Like, do you know, like it's one of those things where when you're on a boat and you feel seasick, when people are seasick on a boat, sometimes they just give them a bracelet that's literally just made of paper, but they tell them it's
no way
something, really? And people are like, thank you so much.
Honestly, I wish I could like placebo my way out of hangovers, does work.
Love it.
Like, there's been times when I've been like near blackout, and then I always know I'm gonna be like completely shot the next day, and like I felt not like amazing, but not hungover, just like really tired from when you only sleep 5 hours because you're like wasted. Amazing.
And also the 5 hours is like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, literally, because you're like wasted and you're like having weird dreams.
For 2 hours, your body's still just processing.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body's like, bitch, I'm working overtime to make sure you're alive.
All the poison you put in them.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of segue this is about to be.
But we're doing a murder from the 80s.
I know.
The 80s. And this was a... some people recommended this, but I feel like a lot of people don't know the full story of this one.
I didn't really know anything about it at all.
So, you know, we give you our fun interviews. We give you our silly updates. Yeah. But yeah, We'll give you some gun violence. We'll give you some attack. Yeah.
We're going to go into some full-blown teen love. American love story turned murder.
This is like a tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwich murder.
This is chicken soup for the murderer's soul. This is
all-American murder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was like, in what way? All right. I hear you.
It's American cheese.
Yeah. On a donut.
On a donut.
And it's delicious.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about Pamela Smart and the murder of Gregory Smart. He spells it with two G's, which is annoying.
I would have killed
him.
That's a
red flag.
Right? Come on.
I'd have been like, get rid of a G or it's your life. No. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Fine. Which probably is exactly what went down.
That's the reasoning.
Pamela Smart, born Pamela Wojcicki. Did I fuck that up already? I don't know.
We're in between Wojcicki.
I don't think it's Wojcicki. She looks it's like not.
Yeah, I think it's
like
Wojcicki.
It's spelled Wojas.
And like, she's from New Hampshire, so I'm assuming it's like a Wojas, like galoshes, you know what I mean?
Like Wojcicki. Like, it almost sounds like a half of like a Polish last name, like Wojcicki or something.
Oh, yeah. And they just chopped it off at Ellis Island and they're like, there you go.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Made it like even more difficult to pronounce in the process. Okay. So anyway, she met Gregory with two G's in the middle in 1986 at a New Year's Eve party.
As you do.
I love. They formed a serious relationship pretty quick. He moved to Florida with her while she finished her degree at Florida State, and they got married in 1989. I also heard on, like, I think I was listening to Generation Y podcast that she was like super smart, like super
and like on track to become like a Diane Sawyer-ish type. Like, she really, that was like her goal in life too.
Yeah, so she wanted to do that, but then I think after she graduated she just like couldn't find jobs in broadcasting. So
yeah,
instead,
well, jobs that like didn't pay enough for her.
So instead, she became a media services director, and she was responsible for writing these like feel good kind of fluff pieces and managing a video library for schools in the South, in southeastern New Hampshire.
She also,
which like, I think plays into like a common misconception that was reported that she was a school teacher, but no, she just kind of worked tangentially for a school.
Yeah, I was gonna say she also worked for like some heavy metal.
Radio station.
She worked for like this radio station where she was then, because I think, she had this love of heavy metal, which also she shared.
Yeah,
with her
she
husband.
Was like obsessed with Van Halen, and she named her dog Halen.
Yeah,
and she had like all this shit too. Like, I don't know, she liked Greg because initially he had like this long hair, the rocker look.
Totally.
And then he cut it all off and became an insurance agent, and she was like, "Fuck this guy."
It's truly that song, 1985, Bowling for Soup.
Oh my god, it was about Pamela.
Stream it.
I don't remember the murder verse, but maybe they cut it out for the radio edit.
It was the remix with Trey Songz.
So she was a bit rock and roll, this Pamela Smart.
She was. So she marries Greg. I would say everything was good, but it like wasn't. I think even before he admitted that he had a one night stand, she was kind of like pissed that he went kind of straight laced, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fair. I think it's important to say also that they were like 21 and 22 when
so
they got married.
Freaking young.
Or they were maybe 20 and 21 when they got married.
Because she was only 22 at the time of the murder. Yep. So they were like children.
Yeah. Yeah. They and were babies.
It was a thing too where the job that she got, her mom told her, like, just come move back and get this job and like settle down. So I feel like it was a thing. She's like, I guess this makes sense financially because I have to.
Yeah, but I don't think she really wanted to settle down. But yeah, she told, I think, the Washington Post, or she told people that Greg admitted to having a one night stand. Mm-hmm. You can believe that or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I do.
I feel like I do. A lot of the information we got for this is from a Washington Post interview that she gave over like a course of a few months and stuff like that. So some of it could be on her side,
but she's doing the interview because
she wants to get out of jail.
So I'm taking everything with a pretty big grain of salt.
Right. Lime on the side, tequila on the rocks.
And even if Greg did have a one night stand, it doesn't excuse what she did even before the murder. Mm-hmm. So at this time, she was serving as like, she did this school self-esteem project at high school at Winnicunnet High. Wow, there that sounds like a fake TV show.
Winnicunnet.
It's great. She meets literally just a bunch of kids. One of them
she's like their mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One is this girl, Cecilia Pierce, who's a sophomore when she's like, what, 20? And then the other one is Billy Flynn, who like becomes her lover.
I love that.
And these are like 15, 16-year-old kids.
Yeah.
I love that his name is Billy Flynn.
I know.
Reach for the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. Reach for the gun, the gun, the gun. Reach for the gun. You know, that's the name in Chicago.
I do know that.
Not the guilty. Cicero. Any Chicago fans out there? Hey, hello.
Honestly, I know the whole soundtrack because one of my camp counselors would play it all the time.
But I've never, from the movie or from like...
I don't remember.
That's one of the ones you need the movie soundtrack.
I loved the movie soundtrack.
Yeah, the movie soundtrack
would keep me awake.
One of the
LA
only musical movies that won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Because it was a good one.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
You get that fact for free, kids.
Yeah, because as we know, La La Land didn't win.
Never forget.
Gladiators. Like, I'm sorry. We'll get into that later.
I love Pasek and Paul, but pick up the pace, kids. So as we obviously have alluded to, there was a murder. And on May 1st of 1990, granted, they've only been married for like less than a year. This happens like 7 months into their marriage.
Truly unbelievable.
Pamela came home to her condo and it was a mess, and her husband Greg was murdered. So police initially say that the crime scene looked like a disrupted burglary. This is a development of my life that I can't say the word burglary.
There you go.
Looked like a disrupted burglary.
Just say
first.
It was an armed robbery. You're good at that.
That's true.
It was an armed robbery. Disrupted. I think I just have to say it like burglary at first.
Very Christine Baranski.
Thank you so much. Oh, I love her. Mm-hmm. But so as the investigation proceeded, actually, Pamela was in a frenzied state, and her mother, Linder. This is what happens at 10 a.m.
Actually,
I've had a half of a banana.
Also, you
and
have
no
a
coffee.
Hat on, and it's 8,800 degrees in here.
The hat is the hairdo. I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys that in the winter, the beanie is the hairdo. Okay. I'm so sorry about this, everybody. Please just continue to go on loving me in spite of my faults. In spite of my faults, whatever the saying is. Basically, Pamela was very distraught. Pamela was having a really hard time. So her mom debated whether or not to put her in like to institutionalize her to kind of get some help. But then her mom ultimately thought that she could take care of her better, which apparently she regrets now. Later on, she's like, oh yeah, now I see what I did wrong there.
Whoops.
2 months after the murder, the case kind of blew wide open when Billy and his classmates kind of confessed to being part of this murder. Mm-hmm. Billy actually committed the murder, and he had a couple friends that were helping him. He had Pete Randall, J.R. Latime, and Raymond Flower, which all sound like 80s names. This sounds like an 80s murder.
Flower?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it Fowler?
And was it typo?
Oh,
Could be Fowler or Flower. Listen, like we said, we will tell you most of the facts. But
and also, if you follow me on Instagram,
you
know this outline was done at a dog cafe, and there were three chihuahuas and a dachshund next to me.
So you can't be blamed.
Who knows, guys?
Yes. So cute.
You might hear "good boy" written out, and they're not good boys. I'll tell you that much.
They're not good boys. Okay, so Pete, JR, and Raymond, with the help of Billy, committed this murder. She actually allegedly threatened to stop having sex with Billy unless he killed her husband, which is, you know, according to Billy. So this is Billy's testimony that he was like, we were having sex and she blah 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 blah.
Yeah, and he was basically saying that she was like, you know, can't do this if I have a husband. Yeah. You gotta kinda get him out of the picture. Yeah.
If you want me to
shit
be
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. She was kinda saying that. I mean, she'll later go on to say, like, oh, he took that to mean something else. But come you know, on. You're but here's the thing too, that like she was 21, he was 16. Like they're both, I feel like, still kind of like crazy and impressionable.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
both of them should have been.
It's just so weird because like, okay, yeah. he had a one night stand, so you're gonna have a prolonged affair with a teenager.
A teenager yeah. that you're this advising in a peer counseling program.
I know. This like does not add up and it's so sketchy. And also, why was she even friends with a 15-year-old in the first place?
I think because she was
hella suspect.
Well, you know what? I feel like it's that like cool camp counselor thing. It's like, hey, I'm your guidance counselor. Counselor, but like, you know, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool one.
I know. Yeah. But I do think that's incredibly sketch.
Yeah. No, it actually, if you're hired to be a person that's supposed to be like treating, like to be kind of like a leader in this self, it's like a self-esteem
program.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but I mean, was she giving him self-esteem?
I mean, you could argue that. Yes.
See, so there's two sides to every story. Okay. you're welcome, everybody. Look out for my debut album called Burglary.
It'll be your second album.
Be my second album.
Yes, you're right.
Burglary. But this one will be beautiful singing, obviously. So she threatens to stop having sex with Billy. Billy freaks out, I guess. And during the investigation, JR's father had bought a pistol or brought a pistol that he found in the house to the police, believing that it might have been the murder weapon.
These idiots.
So these people are throwing each other under the bus. Truly.
Yeah, like
well,
I think
2 seconds.
I think one of their parents had a shotgun and they were like, no, that's too messy. And then one of them, their coworker, had a gun and they were trying to like facilitate some situation in which the coworker would like bring the gun to work, leave it in the car, and then they would break in the car and steal the gun and
like,
use
they were
that.
Yeah. Like, they were talking, like this was like a snowball effect. Everyone's like, okay, how are we going to kill
and
this
And then
man
the one Greg? Guy's like, no, yeah. I'll just take my dad's gun. No one will trace that back.
Yeah.
You,
yeah. And I'll just leave it always use your own out. Gun.
Yeah.
And then just
put
your
hands
on.
You always just buy like a gun off the black market.
You buy a burner gun.
Yeah. A burner gun, yeah. Like
a sprint,
Nokia.
A Sprint Mobile gun.
Yeah.
And we all know how easy it is to buy a damn gun in this country.
I know, right?
And this was the 80s too. So I think that they were just giving away at firework stands. You know,
it was like,
they're like, have fun. Loud
it was a
noises.
Bazooka with bazooka bubblegum. They were just like, you know, right? Yeah, both are 25 cents.
Whatever
buy
you want.
Buy one, get one free.
So the boys say that JR bought some bullets with money and they claim that the money was given to them by Miss Pamela Smart. Mm-hmm. Billy says that he shot Greg in the head while Randall held a knife in front of the victim's face. So it's a little, here, look at this knife while I shoot you, which is like, just shoot him. You know, why even think that?
Because I think the one guy was going to stab him, but then he got too scared.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, not my favorite part, but it's my, Pete just waited in the car.
Oh, yeah, the car guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think, listen, if I was to be part of a murder, I think I'd be the, yeah.
Well, because I'd like,
I don't think I actually want to be part
I'd be
of
on
it.
The
yeah,
FM radio.
I don't want to have to deal with that trauma.
I think I'd be like, let me get the heater
yeah.
on.
Oh,
and,
yeah, the
you
car
know.
Warmer
I'll get
for
the
everybody.
Good tunes for
yeah.
you guys.
Snacks,
I got
yeah.
the
big
well,
yeah.
I would make like a Just Murdered Somebody playlist.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And the first song would be, I don't know, what would
Love
the first
her,
song be?
It's like Ja Rule being like, murder.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
That actually should be in like a Freeform movie. And
I love
saying.
That.
Yeah, where somebody's just going on a murder spree yeah. and then every time they get questioned, it's like, ooh,
it wasn't me.
Love it. So on May 14th, 1990, an anonymous tip to the police that Cecilia Pierce was aware of the plan. So somebody told the police, because Cecilia kind of was the one that kind of went in and was like, some shit's going mm-hmm. on. Because she was also a sophomore. But again, she was really good friends with Pamela Smart.
Yeah.
So the police decide that they're going to bug her. They're going to bug Cecilia Smart. And they're going to be like, go talk to Pamela, see if she says anything.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, Pamela says everything. She doesn't necessarily say like, yes, I did this. But she's like, I need you to lie to the cops for me.
Yeah.
Like, this is what's how it's going to go down.
She,
I need
yeah,
you to
I
fuck
think
up.
She,
I was like, you
I
know,
wish
what,
I had my
what
phone.
The, yeah, she was like, what would me going to prison do?
Yeah, she said something to that
yeah,
effect.
Yeah, she's like, it wouldn't even help. Like, yeah, oh, she says the slammer. I think
yeah.
she
the
literally
slammer.
Says the slammer. She's
the
like,
slammer.
Hey, what good would it do if I went to the slammer? But she was essentially asking Cecilia mm-hmm. to lie.
Yeah.
And of course, the cops hear that and are like, okay, this lady is definitely guilty. And so on August 1st, 1990, Detective Daniel Pelletier entered Pamela's office unannounced, but she was like, I know who you are because I guess it's a cop and it's a small town. And so she was like, hey, what's up?
Well, she probably talked to him before because
yeah.
it's like, hey, we're solving your husband's murder.
Yeah, I know
right.
they talked
yeah.
like five separate times like throughout
yeah.
the case. To try
okay.
to this out. Yeah.
yeah. So they knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he kind of walked in and she was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, well, I have good news and I have bad news.
Ooh. This is when this is like actually a movie.
This is when,
I know.
Yeah, this is when you can't actually write this.
Yeah.
So he walks in and he's like, I have good news and I have bad news. And she's like, okay, what's up? He's like, well, the good news is we solved your husband's murder. The bad news is you're under arrest.
Yes, ooh. Boom. Dick Wolf, executive producer.
Okay, yeah, Lucas Hedges acting in that role.
Yeah, yes. Lucas Hedges in every role. But so she was handcuffed and arraigned at the Derry District Court and jailed in the New Hampshire State Prison for Women. Oof. But yes, what a dramatic thing to kind of go in and be like,
love
what?
It.
It's very insane. Yeah.
I'm kind of into
it. So then good. The trial starts. And from the beginning, it was extremely like kind of... With all the story parts of this, like the media attention was insane. Not only because it was this, like everyone was calling her like a teacher at the school, having an affair with a student, and then the student kills the husband type of thing. It's not true. That's what the media was portraying it as. And then also the fact that she'd be facing life in prison if convicted for this murder.
Right.
So Washington Post said
without parole.
Without parole.
Yep.
So Washington Post said it was considered the first gavel-to-gavel broadcast of a murder trial in U.S. history, because this was before OJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Court TV aired it, and even local television stations in New Hampshire, like, aired it in lieu of daytime soap operas. Like, that's how much people were obsessed with the storyline.
Well, it's a soap opera.
Yeah, it truly,
yeah, it is its own soap opera.
Like, you know
opera.
It's real when your mom's like, I don't need Days of Our Lives. I need to see Pamela Smart. Like, that yeah. is, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was also the whole thing that, like, she wore bows in court. And, yeah. like, people were kind of...
Because she was very stoic,
she was, like, well-dressed.
Yeah. She was, yeah, she didn't cry. She was very stoic. And then, yeah, and then it was, like, these teenagers with mullets. I mean, I think people were just captivated by the characters.
Yeah, those poor teens with the mullets.
And also, it's like, too,
because then you get out of jail, and it's like, you don't know that mullets aren't cool anymore.
Well, Billie Eilish is wearing a mullet now, so they're back.
I mean.
So
I don't even have enough words.
I mean, she doesn't either.
But here's one.
So the prosecution's case relied heavily on testimony from the teenage co-conspirators, obviously, and before they secured their own plea bargains before the trial began. So it was sort of already setting up like a slam dunk to get Pamela the brunt of everything. So oral arguments began on March 4th, 1991, and Assistant Attorney General Diane Nicolosi portrayed the teenagers as like naive victims of an evil woman bent on murder.
Bent on murder.
That was like
her next
kind of
snapped.
Like. Right.
They were also like billing it as like Billy was like this virgin. And like they were like, oh, this is the first person. Obviously, his judgment was clouded. But then didn't something come out later where they found evidence that he had had sex with somebody else before?
I don't think
before?
That fucking matters. Yeah, like, it doesn't like, matter. He's still dickmatized. Like, too much.
But I mean, they were trying to, paint her to be this, like, these innocent.
Yeah.
And I mean, with all the cards
they
stacked,
were painting her as like this. Femme fatale kind of even if she has like even if he's had sex before, like I don't think that really factors into it, like the she's this older person like exerting this power over him. I don't think that matters to me.
The prosecution so kind of with that, she was, they said that she was just this cold-blooded mastermind who was controlling the young lover. And so this is also when it gets a little interesting too with the case. So obviously we see that this was already very much seeming to be not going in Pamela's favor. But on top of that, the jury wasn't sequestered until the second day of deliberations.
Yeah.
And then
they did some really fucking shady shit with this
thing. Well, they tried to get a change of venue because they were like, everyone in this town knows this woman. It's a small town in New Hampshire. Yeah. They said no. They tried to also like do something else because of like, they tried to argue the trial was unfair because of the media coverage, and the judge was like, too bad.
Because that wasn't really a thing at this time either.
And then on top of this, you have like the jury shit.
Yeah. And the juror was, I kind of love this. A juror was going home at night and putting on a tape recorder her thoughts about it. And I kind of think that was the original podcast.
Oh,
she went
my
home,
God.
Of course.
Hey guys, we're sponsored by Tab this episode. It's an amazing energy drink.
And also Tab like, and Ephedrine.
Yeah. And Crystal Pepsi. Was that? No, that might have been later.
It could have been 80s, 90s.
That would have been later. And a couple years ago when they tried to bring it back for like a month. But also like the boys could watch each other.
Yeah.
So they were in cells, I think, next to each other, and they could all like talk.
They were able to like hang out when they weren't at court, like all together. And then they got to watch testimony.
They got to watch each other's testimonies, which is like so not
so
okay.
Because then also they can see what every question one person is being asked. So like, okay, we'll just keep that story going because we all have plea bargains.
It's so messed. Like they really... they really did some really shady shit with this trial.
The assistant attorney general was claiming that Pamela seduced Billy to get him to murder her husband in efforts to both avoid an expensive divorce and receive his life insurance policy of $140,000.
Again, don't get a life insurance policy.
Like, just don't do
it. But also, if you're going to murder someone, like, do a better job. Be less suspicious.
True.
I don't know what you want me to
say. Don't make a 16-year-old do it.
Yeah, don't have somebody who's you've swapped DNA with.
Don't get
with
someone who'd be on TikTok to do it. You know what I mean?
True.
So Pamela acknowledged the affair with the teenager in her testimony because obviously it happened. But claimed that the murder of her husband was solely because she told Billy that she wanted to end their relationship and go repair her marriage.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Jan.
So exactly. She's kind of framing it like, no. She said that she didn't participate in the murder plot or had any knowledge of it happening. And then although Billy said that he fell in love with Pamela, Cecilia, this girl who comes in all the time, testified that the two were just friends.
And, friends with benefits, I guess. Mm-hmm.
And interesting, did you guys see, during this, Cecilia sold movie rights for this.
Of course
yeah,
she did.
What yeah, shady. What a shady.
But also at 16, I'm jealous.
What, and right. Also, but like, she obviously.
How did you know what you wanted to do so
did
early?
Did she sell the rights and was that what the Nicole Kidman movie was?
No,
or no?
I don't think so.
Because I think that was based off of a book that was kind of like this. But Cecilia got like short-ended by the deal because she was a 16-year-old signing a deal. She got like 10 grand of this movie, of like these rights that were worth like hundreds and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
That's insane.
Now she's like a nurse, I think, in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. So I tried to get some more info on her.
Oh, nice.
So Cecilia noticed that there was a change in February, and that was when Pamela confessed that she was in love with Billy.
Wait, okay. I'm confused.
So Cecilia was like, oh no, they were just friends.
At first they were just friends. Yeah,
during the trial, she said they were just friends?
Yeah, so, because like her testimony was like, oh, when I was in the peer program, with Pamela them. And Billy okay. were just friends.
Yeah.
But then Pamela came up to me, Cecilia, oh, okay.
yeah,
and was
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm in love with Billy.
I need to be with Billy type of situation. So kind of
right, okay.
egging on the fact that like Pamela was this like, woman like obsessed with Billy who hated her husband who would do anything to like be with him type of
jeez.
Thing. Jeez. Yeah. So then, and that's when Billy also testified that he was a virgin before having sex with Pamela.
Jeez. I don't even. I know. All right.
I know.
The trial lasted 14 days. After that, it culminated on March 22nd, 1991. In Rockingham County Superior Court, Pamela was found guilty of being an accomplice to first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and witness tampering.
Yikes.
That one came from her trying to coerce Cecilia into not saying anything to the authorities or lie to them. Not a good look. So as we mentioned, basically they convicted her a large part because of this testimony from all the other kids. There were also these secretly taped conversations in which she appeared to contradict her claims of wanting to reconcile with Greg and having no knowledge of the boys' plot. I think the weird thing is like there is this like tape that the quality is apparently really bad. Mm. And like basically she tried to argue in court that like, oh no, she's not saying that, but like the transcription is wrong, but we don't have the money to get our own person to do a transcription. So like the whole thing is just sketchy.
That is insane. Yeah.
Yeah. The prosecution decided not to charge her with capital murder. So she was given a mandatory life sentence in prison without the possibility of parole. I think that's because in New Hampshire, they don't, if you get a life sentence, you are automatically not eligible for parole. Mm. That's what I was listening to on the Generation Y podcast. But Pamela is like, she's still convinced that the fake media influenced her trial and conviction. And she's basically still claiming that she had no knowledge of this plot, that Billy just took her comments the wrong way. And like, calm the fuck
on. And then also, because I know like a lot, she's doing all these interviews to try and get out of prison, but she's still not saying, she's like, I'm not going to admit to a murder that I don't think I did.
Right. I'm just like, all right, bitch. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a interesting question, too, because her also thing, because she was 22 or 23, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, she has an interesting argument. So she's using a science argument.
A science argument. So she's saying that if you are convicted of a crime under the age of 25 or so, that you should never be given a life sentence or without parole because she feels
like
you're
your
not
brain isn't
fully formed. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I mean, sure. I just think it's like she knows that the easiest path is to just like accept responsibility and she just won't do it. So like, I don't know. I'm just like, all right, you can use all these science arguments, but if you would just admit it.
I mean, yeah.
I think they would have more like leniency.
Because that's what they're just looking for justice of this.
Yeah, they're
happen.
Like, you're just not accepting your actions and accepting responsibility. And like, if you would do that,
I know
then we would be chill.
A major thing that they want for people to be given parole, they want to see that you learn something from this and are accepting responsibilities and realize like the gravity of your actions. And they're not feeling that she's doing that because she's kind of just like,
I had no knowledge of it. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
they had like this whole plot. She apparently left the cellar door unlocked.
She left it open.
Oh, that's when they got
like
a little.
So they would get in. Like she told them to like ransack and make it look like a burglary. She apparently was going to pay them $500 and she was going to let them take anything they wanted from the house.
I mean,
so it's like, all also, right. Like,
what do you have on a house?
Those are, yeah, I mean, but those are some details that like don't seem like.
Yeah,
that made up. You know,
right? Because like, why would like, these kids make up? They were, she was gonna let me take her like a track. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's yeah. Not, yeah. And that's also when they cops got when the cops got there, it did look like a ransack.
So they grabbed right. stuff.
And yeah. also, they apparently tried to do it before, but then Greg was already like inside the house, so they like they were like too scared, and they were like, "All right, we'll do this some other time."
Yeah, I do say I think that. Regardless, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think she was part of it and all this stuff, but like the whole without parole thing, and then they moved her to like this really heavy duty yes. prison as well.
Yeah, they moved her from New Hampshire yeah. to New York.
There was actually one jury member that said, I think in the long run, she's like, if I would have known it would have been life without parole, like I would have hung the jury. She's yeah. like, I would have not. Because that's, I mean, it's pretty intense to put someone away at 21. I mean, I get it. It's pretty intense to also murder mm-hmm. somebody.
Yeah, to get
murdered.
Someone murdered just because you want to fuck a teenager. Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
Yeah. I know. Well, truly. She already fucked him. So it's not like she wanted to continue.
Well, she did want to continue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, if you guys don't have that much stuff, the divorce doesn't have to be expensive.
Right.
Maybe they did have some stuff. That's maybe okay. they had a huge VHS collection.
That's true.
They, had, they had the Beanie
all,
Babies.
I was like, was Frasier out? No, they had the unreleased tapes of Frasier that didn't air yet.
Oh my God.
So this is kind of what went down with all the boys. sorry, our notes say in 2,992.
Without parole.
That was the dog.
Yeah, I'm going to say that this is a...
That was Sparkle, the dog next to me, who rolled on the ground and then peed. And I was like...
Dogs be peeing.
Oh, God.
So in 1992, Billy Flynn was sentenced to life in prison for second degree murder and is not eligible for parole for 40 years with a 12-year minimum sentence deferred if he maintains good behavior. So he was incarcerated at Maine State Prison, where he earned his GED and has been active in charity work. In 2007, he sought a sentence reduction after serving 16 years, stating that he had vowed not to do so until he spent as many years behind bars as he spent free.
What a guy.
I was like, I feel like that was a very respectful thing.
Yeah.
For right. a murderer.
For a murderer.
I think it's weird logic, but yeah, I mean, like
it's very much like Infinity Tattoo on the Wrist logic, where he's like, yeah. okay, the moons have now turned. Yeah. yeah.
But clearly you see that this kid feels guilty. This kid yeah. feels guilty.
Exactly.
I mean, he's even like spoken to he always like has done like apologies to the yeah. Smart family and all that stuff.
Yeah. Apparently, according to one account that I heard on this podcast, before he killed the guy, he said something like, God forgive me.
Oh.
But I don't know.
Oh, Billy Flynn. The gun. So he also apologized to Greg's family. They opposed the request as, you know.
I mean, come on. That's what are you going to say? It's all good.
It's like, not like Ariana Grande. Yeah. Not going to be like, I'm so fucking grateful for my ex-murderer.
Yeah, yeah, right?
No, it's definitely not that. But anyway, his request was denied in 2008, but his earlier parole eligibility date was reduced by 3 years to 25 years, which made him eligible in 2015. So in July 2014, he moved to a minimum security facility, which allowed him to participate in a work release program, and he was ultimately granted parole by the State Parole Board on March 12th, 2015, and was released from prison with a lifetime parole on June 4th, 2015. So a few days past the anniversary of Greg Smart's death. Mm. They always got to add that.
They always got to be like, it was
29 days yeah, after yeah. the right. death.
62 days.
It was under the same zodiac sign of the death.
It was on you the know. Same continent.
It was the same year, if you mix up the numbers and yeah. read it backwards.
It was at the
same
airport.
Year that the Winchell's Donut House opened in Greg's hometown. It's like, okay, relax. His friend Patrick was sentenced for second degree murder and eligible for parole after 40 years with 12 years deferred. He served in the same prison as Billy and was eligible for release. Also, he had that same 25-year deal, and he was granted parole on April 9th, 2015, and was released the same day as Billy.
Oh, two for one.
I wonder, like, did they, like, talk after, or do you think they were just like...
I don't know.
No idea. Yeah. You don't know, yeah. Vance was sentenced for being an accomplice to second-degree murder, eligible for parole after 30 years with a 12 years suspended. In 2005, his sentence was reduced by 3 years, and he was paroled that same year. So he got out in 2005.
Which one was Vance again?
I think that's JR.
JR.
Because
yeah.
JR is his nickname. Vance. Yeah.
Oh, how? Yeah. Okay.
I think because it's like his
how
middle.
How does that track?
It was like his like middle name. Like,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So 80s to be like, my name's Vance.
My name's Vance.
All right.
And then Raymond, who waited in the car, that was the car guy, was sentenced to 30 years for conspiracy to murder and attempted burglary and was eligible for parole after 15 years.
Okay, I changed my answer. If I'm still going to get sentenced to 30 years, like, I want to actually do something, I think.
That's actually...
30 years in jail because you waited in a car. Oh man, that's
you're saying you want to pull the trigger.
I'm doing something. I got to be more involved than this. You want to spend that eight track?
Yep. I would just be Cecilia being like, hey guys, this is what I know.
Yeah, right. I'll sell the movie rights.
She's like selling the movie rights, being like, no, tell me everything. Then going to the cops. Yeah. You would know. She was very much like Regina George on the phone.
Yes, on the three-way call attack.
No.
Are you so mad at Gretchen?
Yeah.
Wait, Pamela, are you mad like your husband's dead? She's like, no, I'm happy. Oh, really?
Okay. Are you so mad at Billy Flynn for killing your husband? Yeah, that would be your role.
Yeah, I would drive. Cecilia, call me. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart.
Oh God. But anyway, Raymond was also released in 2005. So two boys were out. The two like less involved guys were out in 2005, and the two the knife and the gun were in there till 2015. Mm-hmm. So Pamela, you know, her argument is that she's the only one still in jail for this, but mm-hmm.
pretty crazy.
And she didn't actually. I mean, even if she was behind it, she didn't actually
right. Yeah, and she's currently serving her life sentence at the maximum security Bedford Hills Correctional Facility for Women in Westchester County, New York, which is literally creepy because when we were out at drinks, my phone was like, there's a strange login from your Instagram in Bedford, New York. And I was like, what? I'm not even making that up. Pamela, I'm on to you.
Pam, she's like, I learned how to code and hack now.
But here's the thing. Yeah, this what's so interesting when you read it like in words, like this woman has been in prison. Like she hasn't even seen the internet.
I know they saw
she
that.
Doesn't know.
She doesn't know what it is. IPhone, yeah.
She doesn't know what the internet. Like she's never had internet.
Yeah. Wow. So it probably could you wasn't imagine? Her
not having Google.
I know.
She would just Google like how to get out of prison.
Yeah.
Watch Escape at Dannemora.
She'd be like on TikTok, like trying to find her next victim.
No.
Yes.
Sarah, one is enough.
You think. She was transferred to this Bedford Hills Correctional Facility in 1993 from New Hampshire. At the time, New Hampshire officials said the transfer was for unspecified security reasons. That seems sketch. In 2007, a senior assistant at the state attorney general's office said it was because of discipline problems. She did receive 22 disciplinary reports, which seems like a lot. I don't know. Haven't been in prison. Yeah, but I don't know. Apparently, a majority of them were for minor offenses.
Yeah, I think all but two were just like very minor, like, you were late to something type of thing.
Okay.
Like yeah.
Later, the deputy compact administrator, Denise Heath, said it was basically just because at the time she was too high profile for their little New Hampshire prison because somebody could try and break her out. And apparently she gets like letters, marriage proposals, people calling her hot. So death, I could see
And then
see
also
it.
Like death threats and like
so it's a,
a mix. You got a good
it's
mix.
It's kind of like our reviews on
Honestly, our reviews are very much like a prison mix. Bag.
Yeah,
some people love us. Some people think we're dumb.
Is that call us hot? Yeah, I love that.
Call us hot. Proposed marriage. We're down.
Yeah, yeah. I'm into that.
Or death threats, but like nothing in between.
Well, only Casey will read the death threats, and then she'll just tell us about it.
I'll be like somebody named Egghead 5559 from
Egghead.
But don't you dare threaten Minnesota. Hillary Duff. That is what we stand.
Yes,
that's what we stand for.
So Pamela kind of has a different theory. She thinks that they moved her to make it purposely more difficult for her family and her lawyers to visit. Mm-hmm. And I guess her family was never even informed that she was transferred.
Which is insane. You would think they would have to do paperwork.
I feel like I've read that shit happening.
It just happens a lot in hospitals too. Like sometimes people, there's like a changing of shifts and sometimes they get the space in the middle of the night. So they just will move somebody without like, and this person will be like, we'll tell you. But then the next person comes on shift.
Yeah, they don't.
Again, it's because my thing. Nobody knows how to do
their
job.
Like prisons are all like bureaucracy. I feel like.
Yeah, like prisons and hospitals are actually very, if you're transferring people, they're very, they drop the ball.
They're basically the
same. It's like Postmates. They're like, am I getting my Taco Bell or not?
Yeah. And it won't have extra cheese.
Never.
No.
No the cheese. While in prison, Pamela completed a master's degree in literature and legal studies.
She's kind of killing it in prison.
And tutored other inmates. Apparently she'd also had another master's somewhere.
She's
she got like in like been, religion.
That's the thing. That's why I'm like, she's really smart. I don't
she's
believe
she's doing all this stuff.
She's literally called Pamela smart.
Well, yeah. Also, she always was like very intelligent in school. Like I think she was doing really well at college. Like, I don't know. I don't believe that she was like had no idea what was going on. Apparently, she's a member of the National Organization for Women, which is great, campaigning for rights of women in prison.
She has a lot of like major notable feminists and women.
Gloria Steinem is like championing her.
Eve Ensler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of feminists in her corner that say, that think it's a very sexist thing that the boys were released and that she wasn't, and that she's just being treated differently because she's a woman. And I mean, you know.
I don't disagree. I mean, I think like the whole portrayal of her was like dramatic.
I do think, yeah, I do think in an age when the media wasn't as present as it is now, they did paint her as school teacher and, you know, all these movies, kind of like all these
Nicole
things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she says, did you read that thing where she was like, I was in prison and she's like, I went to go sit down for a movie night, as we do when we never know the movies, and all of a sudden the opening credits start and it starts and it's To Die For, the movie. It's a movie with Nicole Kidman where she loosely
based
on her.
But I don't, I feel like
her.
She didn't, do you think she knew about that movie until it started playing?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
She was watching
it, all of
she's like, oh my God, this is fucking
me. She was
like,
this is my story.
Yeah, that's wild.
And it's not even like the true, it's Nicole Kidman and a young Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
So check it out
it
if you're interested.
To Die For.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's filmed mockumentary style. So it's like, it's kind of like a,
it's pretty good.
Interesting.
Was a new and different thing for that time.
Now I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah.
We should.
We can have a family movie night.
We should. Okay. The one interesting thing is that she apparently keeps track of Billy because, quote, he's one of the few people that could get me out of here by coming forward and telling the truth, but he's never going to do that, end quote.
No, he's out of prison.
Yeah, he's...
Why would he ever think
about...
Yeah,
he's not looking back, lady.
He's trying to move on with his life, because it's been like 40 or 30-ish years now, so he's...
God, I think about... Because even, you think about like the West Memphis 3 that were released, like when you spend most of your life in... Like when you come out, like... what a shock with how fast we've changed as a society and all that stuff. Like, could you imagine adjusting back to real life after being...
I would just move to a beach town and, like, drink coffee and stare at the ocean for the rest of my life, I feel like. Because I wouldn't know how to do... I wouldn't, like... I'm not going to learn. She's 52 now. I'm not going to try to learn what Twitter is. Like,
I know.
Even trying to explain to my parents who've been in society.
My mom emailed me last week. A forwarded email saying, how do I subscribe to this? And I was like, it's an email. You just
Mom. You have it. If you have it, you're on the list.
You congrats.
If
you
that's
did
how
it.
Emails
if
work.
You know,
yeah.
You know.
Oh my God.
If they sent it to you in the first place, you on the list.
And you're like,
that's
I think
hilarious.
You should unsubscribe from this. I think that's just a scam. But yeah.
But like how crazy. I mean, and obviously these guys did commit the crime, but I remember reading something about the West Memphis 3 and they were saying like, we literally had to learn how to walk without the things on our feet. Like they were just so used to always being like, kind of like,
what things?
Like
shackles.
Oh, the ankle.
Yeah, like the ankle.
Okay,
like,
yeah,
shackles. Yeah, but how wild! Like, it's just you have to adjust to a whole other society.
And I know too, she's been
crazy,
very vocal too, with a lot of issues that she's had in prison. So, from the get go, in 1996, she was severely beaten by two inmates, and then her eye socket was even fractured.
Ow.
And this was apparently because they thought that the two inmates thought that Pamela ratted on their affair to someone. So, like, their internal, like, prison affair.
Yeah.
So, she had to have a plastic plate surgically implanted and lost feeling on the left side of her face.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and that happened in 1990, like, 4 years
right
in.
When she got, pretty early on.
Yeah. So, because of this beating, she still, to this day, is medicated for chronic pain. And her counselor, Dr. Eleanor Pam, says that she has many dark days and is just usually not in a good headspace. Because I know she's even been quoted, Pamela, saying, like, she's like... I need to get out. She's like, I'd rather them just give me the death penalty. She's like, I can't live
I
and
die
in prison.
Here.
I don't want to die in prison.
And her mom, did you read the thing about
who
her mom?
Jogs,
was
who
like,
walks 7 miles a day.
Her mom walks 7 miles a day because she wants to stay alive long enough to see her daughter get out of prison.
Ooh. Yeah. And then on top of that, in 2003, photos of her in like little clothing, like kind of just in lingerie were published to the National Enquirer. And she then filed a complaint and gets to prison and was placed in solitary confinement for 2 months because she filed a complaint. She then sued the prison, saying that the photos were taken by a prison guard who raped her, but then they just dismissed that lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until the following year, in 2004, that her and a fellow inmate, Carolyn Warmus, sued officials at Bedford Hill, claiming sexual harassment and sexual assault by the corrections officers who forced them to post for those pictures and that were leaked.
Yeah, he's dead now.
He's dead, yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't the pictures that he took, weren't they... They were based off of pictures that she had already taken for Greg.
Yes, they were like the same.
They were like the same things.
So I think he was able to sell them as like a side-by-side type of thing.
Yeah,
it's gross.
Yeah,
it's really gross.
In November 5th, 2009, the district court judge approved like about like a $24,000 judgment to her where she is, like received like $9,000 and the rest went to attorneys for paying for the fees.
What do you do with $9,000 when you're in jail?
Right, I don't get...
Cigarettes?
I guess
I was
cigarettes
like,
for days.
Ramen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you feel about her? Do you feel like she should be released or...
I definitely, first of all, I think that she is responsible and just won't admit it because, like, I kind of think that she thinks she's, like, smarter than all these other people.
Yeah.
And she can, like, almost like in a Ted Bundy, like, she can outsmart this. It's clearly not working, lady. So I feel like she should just come clean. However, I don't think that she should be in prison, like, necessarily for life. I think she should get at least the possibility for parole
and then being on, like, probation. And, but I also think that it should be under this contingency that, like, plead guilty, like, just admit to something.
We'll figure out something to do because she's like, haven't I suffered enough? We're like, that's not what prison is.
And also, it wasn't kind of like,
that's not what it's intended to be. Like, you were bad. Like, no, you broke a law. You committed a you were part of a murder. Do your time and admit that you were guilty for.
But I guess a lot of other murders do. I mean, a lot of other people that have this kind of like, when they actually didn't do it and it was just kind of this thing. It was the whole like. Mm-hmm. Are probably don't get the same sentence as she. I don't think.
What do you mean?
I mean, I think that there's other people that have murdered people that don't get the life sentence. Do you know what I mean? There's some people that get out of jail pretty quickly after certain crimes.
Attitude probably played a role into the sentencing because she she's not apologizing. She's still saying like I had nothing to do with it, and it's like, oh my god, come on, you have like four people saying I did.
Yeah, and also
saying where she has to admit. It's and like then give her
the
deal.
Other level of this is like I can't get over like. They were 16, like, even though she was, like, 21, 22. Like, that's eight, like, you're old enough to, not have an affair with a high school minor.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, that on top of everything else, I feel like she's not really, she's kind of just being like, oh, I'm learning so much, I'm growing into a new person. But you have to, you can't just, like, sweep the old you under the rug. You have to address what you did wrong.
Nobody feels bad for her. There was no motive. It wasn't like she was wrong. Like, even her husband did have a one-night stand. Okay, that's unfortunate.
Should be in a relationship,
that's very painful, but nobody act like, but her then having this kind of like, I think it was only like a few months long affair with this teenager. That's not a good retaliation plan. And I know she says a lot. She's like, I don't even know what I was doing. She's like, maybe if he hadn't had an affair, I wouldn't have been in this place. But I think it's like,
it sounds like
if you fall in love with somebody, it's not because your husband had a one night affair.
And she has said that. She's like, you know, sometimes I just wonder why, but now I know why. It's because I had that affair. It's like, no, because you commissioned your teenage lover to murder your husband. Like, oh my God, just say it.
So we all think that she definitely was part of this.
Yeah, you don't think that there was that whole
like, I said I just wanted to work it out and Billy got crazy.
Oh, and the door happened to be unlocked and they happened to enter through that door.
And also because like that's what these kids want to like spend their time doing. Like, no.
Yeah, it's also like they were in like a self-esteem court. Like, so clearly they weren't like the most confident kids to just be like, we're also going to commit a murder. Where,
like, she's like, oh, I didn't know he'd interpret it this way. You are hired by like this district to monitor kids. You know these kids are susceptible two things in general. So I don't, I, even though I do lean towards her saying like, I'm not going to be with you, my husband's alive, like do it like type of thing. And not just being like, I want to end it to work on my husband. Even if she did say that, which I don't believe she did, you know how he would take it. Like, you know, it would be a bad response from Billy for that.
Yeah. It's all, it seems very obvious of what it is. And it seems very obvious that if she was like, okay, I did, now let's work out the deal there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if I'm like ready to say it's 100% sexism. To me, I'm just like, I think that's kind of your own arrogance.
Yeah, I think it, well, I do agree. I think it was all part, I do think the media was part of it. I think that it was where the state was, obviously those are the laws, but it's like, I also wonder like if they transfer her to New York, then are they, is it under, well, no, I guess if you're sentenced to life, you're just sentenced to life no matter where you go.
Yeah, I think she's trying to basically get a pardon now. Yeah. That's what I read.
I don't know. I think that she absolutely should, have the chance. I think.
Yeah, that, I think that's bring show. It to court, I'm down with that.
For her to at least, but then like, because it's not with like that, she has to admit what she did.
That's
wrong.
What I'm saying. It's not like they're bringing forth new evidence that say that this didn't happen. I think it just needs to be like, hey, I don't actually think she should be in life for in prison for life.
Well,
for
also because it doesn't. She doesn't strike me as a person who would commit something like this again.
No.
Too. Yeah, so I think some of the coverage was like, it was like overblown. Like, I feel like they were trying to portray her as this like evil, manipulative sociopath. Like, I don't think that's true. I think she was just like young and immature and like, I don't know, you know, like, I don't think it's like that deep.
I think it was a dumb, I think it was a very immature, dumb, like something based on some kind of weird oxytocin emotion. And it was so stupid, but it's not like, I don't think she's going to come out and murder
anybody again.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
I think she would actually probably
just walk with her mom.
She would probably do some good like work in feminism and probably actually help other women.
Or do
that
what
are
Felicity Huffman's doing now after serving 27 seconds, and she's like, "I'm gonna
bring in cupcakes."
Yeah, she was like, "I feel
that'll last for a month."
Yeah, she was like, "Sitting in that prison, I felt bad for those women that are in there forever."
And she said that,
or she was just like she was saying that she like felt she after her time in prison, she was realizing she's like, "Wow, they have it. It's really hard in there, and I want to try to help out." We're like, okay.
It's prison.
It is prison.
It's for crimes.
And also the prison she went to was nicer than all of our apartments probably.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She went to Jeffrey Epstein's prison. So she had to sleep at home. But yeah, okay. I think that she does deserve a little bit of a let's look at this again.
I feel like she deserves
life
a chance.
Was the
thing. Yeah.
Like she shouldn't be put. I mean, even though she's like pushing for it, she shouldn't be put to death for it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, she's not going to get. I don't think getting put to death is like an option. I think she was just kind of saying that as hyperbole.
As hyper, yeah.
I don't know, actually.
The Epstein special, like.
Yo, just put these two guards to sleep. Give them some like online shopping and just leave me alone for 2 hours.
ASOS has a BOGO, and then she's good to go. Yeah.
Does ASOS have a BOGO?
Oh
right
my
now?
God.
Who knows? Maybe.
I'm gonna Google it.
Yeah. Maybe Dandy just willed that into existence.
See, now here's the thing. So she didn't actually pull the trigger, but she did murder a spouse.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that she got a much harsher sentence than them when she didn't actually do the thing.
Because she was an adult, I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But so now Jodi Arias, she's life, right?
Yeah. And she actually, they went back and forth on giving her the death penalty.
That's right.
So this bitch is not getting out.
Right. Yeah. But see, now that one, I go, I get it.
Yeah.
You took pictures. Yeah. You were in his dead eye. You pulled the trigger. You stabbed him.
Stabbed him and shot him.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And took photos. Yeah, that one is a little bit more.
That one's different.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't feel the same about Pamela Smart.
No.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Because I think, like, Jodi Arias, her motive was very much, I want to murder him right now. And I think Pamela's
vibes.
Major.
Relatable content. Yeah,
big Jodi energy. And then Pam was kind of like, I regret so many of the choices I just made in my life in the past year. I just want like a restart. And instead of like divorcing your husband and moving to like a place to become a news anchor, you had an affair with teenagers and had them kill your husband.
And so thought about that 140K.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. 140K. I know. I hope I'm never in like a position where I'm like, murder is a good way out of my problems.
Right.
All I can do is hope.
You never know what's
going to
happen.
Don't get life insurance and don't get,
And just don't get
what
murdered.
If you marry somebody and you guys have this huge life insurance policy and like you want to go to Barcelona?
Oh.
I would probably just commit bank fraud first.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Right?
Your baby steps.
Yeah, you idiots. Yeah. Rob a bank. Murder somebody.
No, like steal
don't
money out of the account.
Don't murder somebody for their life
insurance.
And also insurance.
Back in the
rob 80s,
it was so much easier to rob a bank. I feel like you just walk
there's
in.
There's no
and
camera.
The,
yeah.
Cameras. There's no Venmo. All the cash is there.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I would just Venmo myself, steal the phone, Venmo myself a bunch of money, like log into his
that's
banking
a good
app, transfer
one.
It to myself.
But then your name would be on there. They would look at their phone and then they would look at their Venmo
so
account
the
and
thing
be like,
is,
who is this Sarah?
I'm thinking like I would get caught either way. So I would just get caught for the lesser offense.
Oh,
okay.
Driving the car.
Driving the car.
Okay.
I don't know. That those are my thoughts. Yeah. Any other parting words or shows you guys have coming up?
Well, there are stay tuned for some exciting stuff from us, I guess.
Yes, I know we keep saying it every.
But like this time, it's like we actually have like there's
stuff.
Yeah, stuff is going down.
Yeah, we got an official.
We're gonna commit an armed robbery.
Yeah,
you guys are all invited.
We're
to
We're gonna
watch.
Pick one lucky listener to rob a bank with us. So if you're in, send us a picture of a raccoon and a mask, and you know,
and yeah, say it in the reviews.
Yeah, say you would like to rob a bank with us.
And then also we know a lot of people have been sending us some new requests. We might have to do another like wait what update episodes of some cool stuff.
There's a few documentaries coming out that people are already out.
Yep. People have been into. Just started watching The Devil Next Door. That's
Devil Next Door.
I'm watching some Preppy Murders.
The Preppy Murders.
The Devil Next Door is about the Nazi, right?
It is.
There's also another
like
one
halfway
coming
through, I think.
And it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. We have a lot to do.
Yeah,
we've also got to read or we got to do another documentary about Bikram Yoga.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit coming out.
I know. That's going to be, I think, like a wild, wild country type situation. Well, yeah. But not, I don't
and
think
also,
as extreme.
Because I just got into hot yoga. So like now.
I love hot yoga.
I love it so much. And
your
I left,
favorite is problematic.
Well, I left Equinox. Because they're giving my, apparently my eucalyptus towels were giving money to Trump. So then I go, sorry, whatever. And then, so then I go to a hot yoga place. And now I just find out that
the founder of hot yoga is a predator.
This is why I would rather eat food and not gain weight so I don't have to work out because every
workout place. Just run outside.
This is also why we can all do yoga in our living rooms.
True.
Well, now I live with a dog. It's a whole
thing. There's videos everywhere.
You have a dog?
My roommate does.
What? How has this never come up?
Downward dog. They're kind of part of it.
Yeah. They like invented it.
It is cute. Her name is Scout. She's a sweetie.
Oh, my God.
Scout is such a dog.
Wait, Scout is so cute. Why am I acting like I don't know who this dog is? I know this dog.
Oh, wait, yeah, you said yeah.
Scout is the cutest.
Guys, if you like Scout, let me know. I'll tell her owner, who's my roommate. And so I consider myself to be like Scout's like uncle father figure.
Yeah, you're like the fun uncle.
Yeah, because I show up with like treats sometimes and she loves
me. Yeah, like show up drunk and like lie on the ground.
No, and then I roll on the floor and I'm like, hey, Scout, how is this? Like, there was an armed robbery at Club Coming Scout, and she's like, what?
You're like, she's like, boy, get off me.
We bought a victim 5 glasses of wine.
That's why we review crimes that have already happened and we're not trying to solve them ourselves, because that was our mentality. We're like,
yeah, we'd be like, this is tough.
That was Rachel. Rachel was like, should we buy them more drinks?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'm like, damn, she got manners.
Rachel's got manners. Yeah. And we were like, we just like the way it looks.
The aesthetic.
But we were also like, they're not saying no to any of these drinks. No. They had so much. They drank about a bottle while we were sitting chatting with them.
Truly.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And the pours are up to the brim.
Brim pours.
A Jersey pour.
You're not doing a brim pour.
No.
Yeah, love to see it.
Get a smaller glass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't give me a big ass glass and then give me one finger of wine.
I'm not. That is 30 to life, no parole.
I paid good money to pick the cheapest one on this list.
Right?
And it's still $9.
I know. Yeah.
It's wrong.
Casey, you're not performing at any casinos coming out?
Oh, and my casino Mohegan Sun had got canceled last week. Bummer.
But Jen Allen, who lives in Connecticut, really wants to see you.
Jen Allen, we'll get there. But you know what I did do this weekend instead? It was actually really fun that it did get canceled because we got to do our drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I also got to go to BravoCon for a
yes!
minute.
Oh,
I was at the Vanderpump party and was wild.
Oh, my
that
God.
That is everything.
It was, I just can't believe, like, there's... These people have been famous, first of all, for like 7 years, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these people just bought tickets to just like look at them and like say hi.
Just, it was like a Vita, it looked like. It was just like them like waving at,
from like from a balcony. Balcony. It was fun. But, you know.
What a time.
What a time to be alive. There's a BravoCon.
I know. I have like zero exciting news. I feel like I'm going to Paris next week. That'll be fun.
Hey,
send me your itinerary. I'll just replicate.
I will.
It.
But I forgot you guys are both in Paris. Really.
She did more fun stuff.
Yeah,
than
but
I did.
I don't want to go to Disney. I'm like, what's the point?
Well, she went to the. I saw on.
She did. Yeah.
She had that bar where they drink out of baby bottles, though, which I wish I would have seen.
I think I've been there before, but I would go again.
I'll tell you all about. I mean, obviously, go to Monmar and then.
Yeah, that's where the baby bottle bar is.
Oh, really? And then go to behind. There's a place called. The Panagil, which is from a play that I knew. Picasso, Steve Martin wrote this play.
Oh, yeah.
But that looked like it's just this little cabaret, and the show goes from 9 to 1 a.m.
What's it called?
The La Panagil. It's spelled LAPINAGILE.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just right over the hill after, like, kind of like the church and the touristy stuff.
Okay.
In this beautiful, but it looked really fun because it looked like more like Paris. Like, you just go upstairs, and it's always like just. Local artists like singing
cool.
And stuff like that. And I think it's one of those you can come and go whenever you please. Like, it's cheaper than Moulin Rouge, which wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that shit is like crazy. You pay like 100 euros
to
show and get one glass of champagne.
No,
I'm
you
like,
get a whole bottle.
That's you get a bottle?
You get a bottle. Your ticket has a bottle. So we had a bottle of champagne.
Semi worth it. Okay.
Yeah, but I still would have rather paid $28 and just bought a $6 glass of wine at the place.
Oh,
but
my God.
You know
what?
I will say it was like one of those things that you go and you see it and that you see how it works and then they start dancing and you're like, I've made a mistake. Like,
why?
But they had one lady swimming with eels, and they had at one point, like, they have a couple tricks, like they have the people on roller skates that like spin each other by their heads,
but
then the actual like kind of dance part, they're like lip syncing some songs, and there's just a lot of tits, and it's very it's very touristy, but bottle of champagne always makes everything better.
Makes it interesting. Sounds
pretty fun. Tell you, I left early because the thought of trying to get my bag in a crowd of 1,000, I was like,
I want to forget it. You had to check your bag? Ugh.
You have to check your bag.
Ugh. Oh, that's annoying. Ugh.
Super obnoxious. Right. But anyway.
All right. Well,
that's all I got to say.
That
Thank
was a
you.
Bonus app of Paris Hacks.
Yeah, I know, right? I forgot to sign off as usual.
Somebody sent us a donut request for Paris, a donut rec for Paris, and I forgot what it was. So if you were the donut request person, send Sarah the rec.
All right, we don't have any sign-offs. I'm sorry, I forgot to check.
I know, there was, but you know, true crime all day. And keep on DMing us, because I love...
True crime all day,
I feel
day,
like we all take turns just, like, answering the DMs after, like, three glasses of wine. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How about, be smart, don't murder anyone.
Yeah.
It happened.
Betches.